So welcome down to another Walking Down Sheepfoot Lane podcast. This week we have the usual suspect of Bin Man here, recovering from the big drink session he had on Saturday. And our guest this week is Aaron Diskin. How's it going, you both?
I'm really good, thank you, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're all good. Thanks
for having me on.
Good, no, it's no worries. It's always a bit easier to have you on when we've got a bit of a win.
Definitely.
On Saturday. Not much mourning, I don't think, today. What do you think, Bin Man?
No, there's not much. It's good to go on a Monday morning and have a good, you know, a good reaction and good things to read on the hashtag for once on a Saturday instead of a load of piss boil. It's good, isn't it? What do you think of that, Aaron? What do you make of that?
You know what? I said to you in the DMs on Saturday, didn't I? That was the first time I've felt proud of the team this season, and the first time I actually felt that team like represented us. Like, you've seen like fight and passion from minute one, and it wasn't the easiest game. We knew going down to Exeter wouldn't be the easiest game, but all we ever asked for as Oldham fans is somebody to represent us and somebody to work hard, and I think every 11 man did that. So yeah, it's great to come away with a win, and I think our counter-attacking style fully deserved the win, to be honest.
Absolutely, I agree. I thought it was outstanding Saturday. I know it was a bit of an error for the first goal, weren't it, Brad? We said that could turn.
Yeah, the way we conceded it, as I said, I think I saw it on Twitter at someone put it, one of the worst goals we conceded people say it was Pierre Gianni's fault. I don't think it was Pierre Gianni's fault because he was left side of defence and he's the one who's marking a player that Gianni. He was headless chicken. He was marking nobody.
Yeah.
So you don't let a player go on the 6-yard box have that chance and any chance. To be fair to Lawley, it was a fantastic save. And then
great save.
The rebound, yeah, Diarra just, I don't know what he did, he just drops to the floor. Gives up. I thought it was a really good goal to concede. But as I said, I think that was the only real chance which Exeter really had on goal where you thought, obviously they scored, but I can't really think of any other ones.
No, neither can I, to be fair. And I feel like, obviously, we'll talk about it more, but I think that they're probably our two best work goals this season, in my opinion. I feel like, okay. And like somebody said on the hashtag on Saturday as well, I feel because of the strike of Danny Rose, George Blackwood's goal kind of got forgot about a little bit, and I think that was really good play. I feel like the step over from Kayla Dunn was really good, and then obviously it was a nice composed finish where he just actually wrapped his foot around it, because far too many times, you know, we see a Latix player get into that position and then just tap the ball, you know what I mean? So it was nice to see someone actually like welly it for a change.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's good.
I thought we were man at match, me Blackwood on Saturday. I thought he had his best game I've seen.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like a couple of things. I think that was the pitch. The Pierre Gianni that obviously I do a little bit of work doing match reports with a Salford publication. So I've been to quite a lot of Salford games over the last couple of seasons. And that Pierre Gianni is the Pierre Gianni that the Salford fans rage about. That was his best game for me in an Oldham shirt so far.
Yeah, definitely 100%. I think he needed to be dropped when he did. Because obviously, well, he had the 14-day isolation and then last week against Scunthorpe, he didn't start. And obviously, I think he needed a wake-up call because he started the season very poor. Obviously, everyone's saying it's because Wheater wasn't that side of him on there. But yeah, he looked a bit more assured on there. To be fair, you've got to give credit to all the players. That, like, obviously, he's a bit of a whipping boy. Even Dylan Fage, he played well. He got forward.
Well, I was going to mention that. I feel like Fage, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but he definitely seems a lot better fullback than he does a wide player. A lot better. But yeah, like I said, I think every one of them deserves credit. And it's just about, like I was saying to my dad in the week, I think this is the most inconsistent Latic side I've ever seen. So it's about trying to keep that momentum now. And like, it's just so Latic's like to go and bottle a game where we needed to win and then turn up and win a game where nobody really gives us a chance to win, you know what I mean? So we need to start winning them games that matter now.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I said that to Brad on Saturday when we beat Exeter. I said, you watch, we're going to get beat at Barry on Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that is the typical Latics. But like you say, everyone from a man on Saturday, I couldn't normally, if you pick out a bad player and you're looking and say, you know what, yeah, we played all right, but he was dreadful. Everyone were good on Saturday. And I mean, even the keeper as well, Lawler made a right good save. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember in the second half.
There's a few. I look, obviously, on the Facebook group, on Twitter, you don't really get much stick, but on the Facebook groups, Lawler seems to come in for a bit of stick.
Yeah,
I don't really understand it because I think he's one of the best keepers we've had. The only thing which I think that he could do better on, and he did get mentioned this when he went off a Doncaster friend of ours, he doesn't catch a ball. I think he had a chance where it came in the box, he just slapped it away. But that's his style. But I think he's a really strong keeper, one of the best keepers in the league.
I feel like his distribution as well on Saturday was very good. That was a very important save where they had the header from the corner with a minute to go, and he managed to tip it over his bar in the last minute. I think that was very important. But yeah, I said, it's probably my best performance of the season that so far.
Definitely. Obviously, we can't go on the podcast without speaking about the Danny Rowe goal.
Oh, bloody hell.
When we was watching it, me and Bin Man, we were laughing because obviously we had the exit of commentary on. They saying, "Oh, he's lining up a shot here," and they're laughing and joking. And then we're looking at it, and you just think, "What's going on here? He's actually going to go for it." And obviously, you've seen goals at Fylde where he's lashed them in, but obviously, he's not really took many free kicks for ourselves.
No.
But yeah, just incredible. And what did you both think?
I was watching it on iFollow, and that was like, remember when Gary Neville had his little orgasm when Torres rounded the keeper for Chelsea?
Yeah.
That was like the noise that came out of my mouth when that goal went in. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and I feel like that shows how much confidence Danny Rowe does have in his own abilities to be able to think, you know what, I'm 40 yards out here, but I'm going to give this a fucking good go. And that's what happened. And it shows that he's got ability, and like we say, I feel like we're at our best when he starts. He needs to be one of the main men on the team sheet, and I'm hoping whoever picks the teams now realise how influential he is to this team, and he will be the first man on the team sheet going forward.
Absolutely, that was it. And not only that goal on Saturday, Aaron, when we go on a Sunday, or any other day for that matter, when we talk about when Oldham Athletic is mentioned, we know it's for the bad reason. Do you know what I mean? Which it is, unfortunately, at the minute, it's always some kind of piss boil or some kind of drama. But on Sunday, we're good to be in the news for
definitely
that kind of goal. That performance and that goal from Danny Rowe, it was just a bit refreshing. I enjoyed the weekend to see it like that because I thought, in my opinion, I know we weren't there, but that was the best goal I've seen at Latic. That would take some beating.
But I'm going to ask you both that question there. Obviously, me and you, Bin Man, we was there at Swindon away. James Dayton's goal was a really good one. I can't really think of any. I think Thurman won goal of the season 1 year. Passing move against Notts County. But nothing like that from a standing free kick. I do think it's probably the best goal I've seen from a Latics player. I don't know about yourself, Aaron. What do you think?
I feel like the only one that comes close to me was probably Sheffield Coochie's goal against Rochdale.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, it's good strikes. Yeah, that volley.
But yeah, I feel like in terms of like technical ability, that's one of the best technical goals I've seen him score. And I feel like
he meant it, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
You know, he's not exactly like he actually meant to actually thunderfucker that, didn't he?
And I think that shows a lot about his psyche. He nearly scored three of them free kicks in that game. So you know what I mean? It shows he knows what he's doing, and it's nice to have. Because for so many years we've had shit set piece takers. If I'll say so myself, we've not had somebody that can put a ball in or beat the first man. And Danny Rowe is that man. Sometimes I get a little bit frustrated when he comes and takes the corners because I feel like we need his presence in the box. But I can understand it when he's got a delivery like that.
He's not like I said before. I don't think he's taken many free kicks this season. I can't remember him being over him. I think it's been normally Bobby Grant and Keeler done if they're on the pitch. I can't think of anyone else who has taken. I don't really think he's taken that season. But obviously, one thing I want to touch on, obviously, Kewell's tactics. I think if you look at the points we've won against some decent teams, well, barring the Southend one, we've beat Cheltenham, drawn against Carlisle. I think against the better teams, where you want to play football in this league, I think Harry Kewell's tactics do work yeah. well with counter attacking football. It shows it obviously in the form table and for away. I think we're seventh in the league, and our own form's abysmal. It's 20th. He just needs to crack us how to play mm-hmm. at home. We need to be more attacking at home. We need to be
100%. Yeah, I feel like what made the difference on Saturday as well, I don't know about you boys, but obviously the new five subs are all coming back. I feel like that really helped us because, and I feel like he got his subs spot on as well. Obviously taking Ben Garrity off at the time he did on the yellow. I feel like that was crucial because obviously he is our workman, if you like, and he is the one that will put his foot on the ball. So I think it was really smart to replace him with Whelan when he did. And I think he got it spot on today. I've not really got any complaints this week with Pure, really.
Definitely. What do you think, Ben, man, of his tactics?
Like you said, Brad, I think they set up different away from home, don't they? But like you said, bang on, at every game that he's won, obviously you're going to say he's played good tactics. We won the game, but you know, even when we drew games, you look at his tactics spot on. But Brad, absolutely agree, home form is just mm-hmm. is crucial. And how long have we been dire at home for, Brad? We've been dire at home for years, haven't we?
Yeah, like I said, I think we would touch on it. I think it's last time we really had a good home form was probably under Ronnie Moore. We was decent at home. But like I said, we always seem to travel better than what we do at home. there's always the rumour saying that they don't like playing at home because the men stand their own morning in the. Well, obviously, there's no fans there, so they can't use that excuse. I think that's out the window. But yeah, as I said, we need to start obviously the home form out. And I think obviously Paddy, when he came on here, I think he was quite right in his thoughts where he said he'd no chance that we go down, and I'm thinking that mm-hmm. now. Looking at the table, it's panned itself out.
This obviously with the way the season's going and how crazy the season is anyway, I feel like it's one of the tightest league tables that we've ever had so far, isn't it? There's six points separating us in 17th and 7th place, isn't there?
We're right slap bang in the middle of them. 6 points.
It's crazy, isn't it? So it just shows what a good run could do for a team. You know what I mean? If we could string 3, 4, 5 wins together, you never know where we'd be.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. Obviously, what need to look at. Obviously, we've got Barra tomorrow. And obviously, I don't think they've not lost at home this season, but I think they've drawn 5. But no matter. What league
we're in, beating Barrow.
How bad we're doing, we should all be beating Barrow.
I always remember the senior Lancashire Cup last year when we went there in that mad penalty shootout and Jerko Vieira got 3 offside goals. Remember?
I can't remember that one.
I think I ended up watching. I think Chris Taylor was on trial for mm-hmm. him at the time.
Was it last season?
Yeah. Last season, yeah.
Yeah, I do remember something about it. Yeah, I do. I don't know. Yeah,
Also, I feel like that was obviously an important result in terms of for Tuesday. There's rumours that Conor McClaney and Zach might be fit again. So obviously, if you've got their firepower to add to the mix as well. So it seems that we're getting players back now from injury at a good time as well. So hopefully, things will start to click. But like you boys are saying, this is Latics. We've known this for too long now, so we can't get ahead of ourselves. It was a good win, and we're allowed to celebrate that win. But I feel like we've got to get our heads back because, like you say, we're as close to the bottom two as we are to the top six, so it can go either way.
Absolutely, you know, like you absolutely agree. We've got to get out of that habit of being the typical Latics. Let's get I agree. I couldn't agree more. Hopefully, we get something tomorrow. Because look at this as a week coming up, though, Aaron. You know. We've got Barry on Tuesday, which could get us further up the table, and also an important FA Cup game against Bradford, which I think is winnable. Bradford are in really bad form. I know I'm not going to count the win against them in the thing because that would totally different team. You'll see that on Saturday, but I'm looking at that game on Saturday, and I think we can do this. We can
roll them, especially the FA Cup this year in terms of finances. I hope that the board and again whoever picks the team realise how important the finances are for us as a team this year, and you know what I mean, we can actually make a bit of a cup run because the finances could be what keep us afloat at the end of the year. You never know, do you?
I agree. I agree. You look at Saturday, Aaron, you know, it's only a one-off game as well. So,
the last thing I'd touch upon on Saturday is just, can you imagine if there was away fans in that stadium when Danny Rowe hit that ball? Oh,
yeah, I'd have probably
got, I think I would have fell out of my chair, not going to lie.
Big man, the question is, would the top have come off?
It would have come off.
Chippy tits all over it, see.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, definitely. We would have had a right good piss up on the back on the way back. I think we even said, didn't we, Ben Man? Obviously, looking at it, we were going to come down for your 30th. Maybe an overnight stay, stop off. It would have been an absolute good knees up. But one thing I want to say, obviously, touching on Bradford coming up, you made a good point to me on Saturday, Ben Man. I think we could, if we do beat Bradford, I think it could be another sacking by Oldham or Stuart McCall after another defeat. So I think they're obviously treading quite badly at the moment.
We seem to have a trend, us, of making clubs sack managers, don't we?
Yeah, but we have a trend of sacking them ourselves.
Yeah, that's
as well.
Right. Yeah.
We do. But hopefully, like you say, Aaron, it's after the Saturday performance, you know, we all get excited as Oldham fans, don't we? We all think, come on. And like Brad always says, there's a hope that kills you, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, we've got quite a few. We've got a big month coming up. I think we're playing more or less Saturday, Tuesday every week. Now, and obviously, Christmas period's hectic as it is. It is a big time for the club. And with the announcement today that obviously they're letting some fans in, some teams will get an advantage. I looked at the stats. I think there's not that many teams who probably have that many. And I think Colchester, probably Cambridge, but most obviously teams are in Northwest Yorkshire area. I don't think we'll get fans in, but hopefully if we do well over Christmas, and then obviously it becomes February time, fans might be able to start going in. We might start coming back in. What a bit of excitement on the. It's just dull, isn't it? We just want to. It's not hard. We just want a top half finish, and it's not hard to get into the playoffs in this league. There's only 7 spots. Like say under Pete Wild, we only just missed out, and it was pretty poor all season.
We had some bad results, didn't we? As well,
yeah. If you put a run together, you can do well in this league. Look at the top 7. They're not good teams. You look at the, I think top 3: Newport, Cheltenham, and Carlisle. You're just fodder. We should.
I know it's a cliche, but this division, it's truly anyone can beat anyone, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting season if it's not been already. But yeah, definitely.
Now,
Dalla this
week. Oh yeah, yeah.
Did you go on? Did you watch it?
Yeah. Well, I got. To be honest, boys, I got through like 5-6 minutes, and then I thought I can't listen to this because I have lots of respect for Mikey and people in that job, and especially because it's similar sort of jobs that I want to get to. But obviously, it was going to be a sort of interview where he obviously had to vet all of the questions before he answered them. You know what I mean? So I feel like that interview would work really if you got somebody from outside the club to come and do the interview, and then ask the questions that the fans actually want asking rather than asking how his quarantine's going or his lockdown's going wherever he is. You know what I mean? We need to know the important things, and I don't think that really got picked up on. But like I said, that's not disrespect to Mike. He was just one of them. I know he's in a.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like I said, like you said, you don't want to obviously say anything bad. He obviously Abdallah pays his wages. He's not gonna
give him
a rough ride. And to be fair, the way he sacks people, I really want to question him. Obviously, you want to keep your job. We still waiting on the BBC Manchester interview from July. Obviously, he just sent an handwritten on there. Like I said, it needs to be somebody who is part of outside the club, and so they can actually
ask the questions properly.
Yeah,
yeah.
What did you think of it, Ben Man?
Well, it was for start off when it first went off. If you looked at his face, for me, he looked absolutely drained. He looked drained. He looked like he hadn't been asleep all night. He did. He looked drained. He looked tired. He looked stressed. But, you know, which owner isn't in the current climate? You know, you look at, you know, with all this coronavirus, it is going to be bad for him. But in terms of the interview for what he did, I just think it's a load of shite, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. A load of shite. You know.
He got fans back. He got fans back up.
You know.
It, like, the first thing you said to me, you said you're going to pull him when you see him. You've had a few run-ins with him, haven't you, big man?
I was in the boardroom with him when there were 30 fans there, and I demanded a signing. But did I demand signing? We got a signing.
You demanded Danny Rowe. You demanded Danny Rowe, didn't you, big man? And you got him. He also pulled you up to the right and bank club, didn't he, in the toilets?
Yes, he had a word with me there then, and
you refused to speak to him though. Then
I was too angry to speak to him. The way he says stuff, and it just winds me up. But go on to the interview from last week. Yet some points, you know, people might look at it and think, you know, he's got to say this, he's got to say that, he's got to say this. Not just say it, Abdallah, just come out with it and say it. And, you know, and for me, it doesn't, you know, it goes around, oh, but the fans still back me, but slowly, I mean,
the fans are not backing him anymore. I feel like what was the most annoying thing to come out of that little section that I watched was the fact that he said, we're now slowly beginning to pull in the direction we want to go, or something along them lines. And if that's the direction we want to go, we're 17th in League Two. So, you know what I mean? Like, what is his direction? You know what I mean? It's pretty scary, really. But I'm gonna throw a bit of a controversial opinion out here, boys, if I can. If Abdallah got rid of the people that are helping him make the decisions around him rather than him, I feel like if he got rid of them and got football people in, I don't think he'd get half of the slack that he does, because I feel like we understand that he must be a hard owning a football club, but surrounding yourself with people like Barry Owens and people like that isn't going to help you from the get-go. You know what I mean? You need to surround yourself with football people. And I feel like if you got rid of a sporting director and Barry Owens, like, maybe people can start trusting him more. But we just know that's not going to happen, don't we, boys?
We do. And that's a frustrating bit. Now, my opinion is on that. I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, he's made so many bad decisions in the time he's been here with the same people. And he's still not got rid of them. So I still think he will never will.
I think he's become too comfortable because he knows that there's obviously, like you say, it's growing, but there's only a certain big vocal section of the fan base that are actually seem like willing to actually challenge, like yourself, and, you know, actually pose the question to him. There's a lot of fans on social media that say all these things, but then never follow through on them. And I feel like, to your credit, you two seem to be like two fans that actually, like, when you've got something to say, you'll say it. And I feel like that needs to be a credit to yourself, to be honest.
We're not. No, cheers, Aaron. I appreciate it. Me and Brad don't do it for the sake of, oh, we want to be known. We do it because we absolutely would take a bullet for that club. And
we don't. You know, I always say, mate, we don't want to do it. We don't want to kick off at the order. We want the club to do well, right? And that's the main thing. We don't want to be shit. We don't want to be gross, have it been in the media all the time. We want to be fans who are happy to go to the club and just see an absolute bounce, see a promotion. We just want to see something. Yeah. And, like, I always put the point, if the club is doing well on the pitch, the fans will forget about what's going off the pitch. There's countless times. Look at Coventry with Seaton, Oysters, Blackpool. That might be a bit different, but they got promoted. They still managed to get promoted, but you still got fans turning up. Charlton got promoted. The football's a fickle business. So if you get promoted, the fans start turning up again.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they start forgetting about it. It's only when you're getting relegated, you're seeing things off the pitch, you're not doing well. That's when it happens. And we don't want to be talking about the off-field stuff all the time.
The forefront and taking things away from the football side, you don't really have a choice, do you? And something that really grinds my gears now, a lot as I get older, because we'll have a laugh, like when I was younger, we probably didn't see eye to eye on some things about the football club because I was quite young and naive, and I thought everything was okay, and I thought when I was younger, I thought I'm just happy to have a football club. But now I'm getting older. What really annoys me is the people that say that people enjoy seeing us lose. That to me, that is such a bollocks statement. Like nobody enjoys seeing Oldham lose, but it's the fact people don't like people having opinions when we lose. Like, what do you expect us all to do? Sit in silence? And like, I know you spoke about it in the past on this podcast, and I've been kicked out of it. But that Facebook group, that realist Facebook group, that is an absolute joke. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And
fans, which Abdallah said on the, he made a few jives, like the proper fan. Mm-hmm. I think the people he's talking about, he talks about the social media a lot. I think obviously Twitter is pretty anti Abdallah. Facebook's a bit more pro Abdallah on there, but he's not helping himself when he's saying comments like that. Attacking the fans, just try and unite the fans. I know you're getting sick, but try and forget about it. But I think one thing which obviously needs to be said about what he said on there is about signing players between 32, 33, 34, up to 36. Obviously, I think that was a dig at David Wheater, because I think he's now 34, and obviously Peter Clark, that when we had him, he was 36, but he's still banging goals in for Tranmere. I think you totally missed the point of League Two football. Where
every good side in this division has experienced pros. Like you say, Tranmere have got Peter Clark, Salford have got Ian Henderson. You know what I mean? And I admit we've got Peter Jani, who I reckon is going to come good. But I look at Peter Jani at the minute, and I don't see a Peter Clark. You know what I mean? And I feel like that was our biggest struggle in the summer. Even though we brought Peter Jani in and everyone was buzzing off the back of his loan, I'm not saying Peter Jani is not a good footballer, because I do think he is. But when you're trying to fill somebody like Clarkie's shoes, it needs to be someone with, you know, someone, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't think he is in that mould, really. And I feel like it's something that we failed to capitalise on in the summer, really, replacing Clarkey properly.
Do you think, Ben, of his comments about the older players, about not signing them?
Well, mine is just total bollocks. Me and you sat in the same room Saturday, Brad, watching the game, where 40-year-old Kevin Ellison scored in the last minute to win the game for Newport. You remember, Brad?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, 40 years old. We laugh at Kevin Ellison, but, you know, he's 40 years old. And he's still doing it in this. So this proves how bad the league is, you know what I mean? You need experienced players. There's no way someone like him should be... In League One, there's no way, but there's a big, massive difference. This league is just... You need experienced players. Like you said, 40 years old, I don't see a problem in that. If he's going gold right on Saturday, a great finish.
Exactly. I think the main one, obviously, last season, Crewe got promoted. Obviously, Crewe have a reputation of bringing in young players through. I think they have some really good players there now, like Charlie Kirk, the right back and left back, I forgot the name, the Salomon FM, they are pretty decent. But in the centre midfield, they have Paul Green. And like I said, you just need that bit of experience. The two key positions where you want to see people, that you want to see a Carmen at the back, a centre-half, who's been about a bit, who knows to throw himself around a bit, knows what he's doing. And a defensive midfielder, like we always...
Well, this is it, yeah. We had that perfect defensive midfielder, and again, through an Abdallah mistake or through whatever it seemed to be, we don't have that anymore. And feel like you say, it's so important to have that cleverness and be able to do the dirty side of the game and be able to kick your opponents or drag that shirt back when they're breaking. You know what I mean? I don't see many of them type players in that team at the minute. I think Garrity works very hard, and I think Whelan works very hard, but because they're both relatively young, they don't have that now yet, and we don't. Like I say, I think that's something that we're missing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's once a basic team around young players. I totally understand that, because obviously you want to sell your young players because they are your assets. But looking at the team, there's not really a player on there which you think is sellable at the moment. Mm. Who's an asset to the club, obviously. People going about him, but he can't even catch our team. Never mind he's going to catch a team in League One.
No, I agree.
And the only one which you can see is Durnley. But the problem why Durnley is at our club is his injury.
Well, this is it. I reckon if Durnley could keep himself fit, he could easily be at the top half of League One. Easily.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
But you have to feel for the boy, really. He has so many injury problems. But like you say, I feel like, obviously, Hamer's still. You forget sometimes, don't you, because of how many years he's been in the side now and that. But he's still what is he 20, 21? So he's still got his full career ahead of him. But I do get what you're saying about this season. He seems to have dropped off a little bit, and I don't know what's causing that really. But like you say, we don't really have anything sellable there at the minute, I don't think.
We don't. I like the look of before he got injured, McKenna. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the look of him. I think he's a really, really, really good player. Hopefully, that's it. Hopefully, he's back for tomorrow.
But again, big man, the reason why he's at our club is injured. He gets injured a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
And you, if you're one of the teams who want to take one of these players, they want players who
got a clean bill of health. Go on, finish.
No. I'm just saying, have a bit of a clean. They want a clean bill of health, and they can show that they can play games at League One, League Two level. You play, as I said before, you play Saturday, Tuesday quite a lot.
And how old is Bambula? Because I think if he's relatively young and he keeps on going the way he's going, I reckon he could do higher potentially.
I think he's around the same age, maybe at 25. But yeah, they said it again. He's. I don't know about him. You know, he's. I said this to you, Ben Man, on Saturday. He's either really good or he's really shit. I think someone turned the point. He's either Paul Edwards or I can't remember who they said the class player. I can't remember who they said, but you know, Paul Edwards or really good.
I feel what he does bring to the team, even if he doesn't come off sometimes, is a direct runner, and he's one of the very few men in the team that isn't afraid to run at people. And I feel like that's what we need, and we don't have a lot of that at the minute. So I'd much rather have a player lose a ball but try and run at a man instead of just passing backwards and sideways all the time.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, we touched on before you came on the podcast there. And what's your you're doing the degree in media journalism?
I'm at Salford University doing a Bachelor of Arts in Broadcast Journalism, and with that university, we're partnered with Salford City, so I get to attend Salford games. And I'm very lucky because I've been able to attend in lockdown to write match reports for our university website and interview the managers and stuff. So it's been a really good experience. And next week, I'm lucky enough to be able to be going on a 1 week work experience with Manchester United as well, doing a similar thing. So it's going really well, to be honest, boys. And yeah, hopefully I can make something of it.
Yeah, so obviously touching on obviously the Salford stuff, you saw us play there. Was it definitely.
I feel like a game like that, I feel needs crowds anyway. Without saying, but I feel like he got his tactic call wrong on that day, and that team sheet when it got passed around the media department, that team sheet, everyone was just bewildered by it, and I feel like we could have had a Salford part two, whereas if fans were there, if we would have voiced our discontent, maybe that would have given them the kick up the arse to actually perform. Because to be honest, that's the first time I went, and obviously it was so hard for me because I was sat in the Salford part and I had to remain impartial. But that was the first time I went, and I thought, wow, there's such a gulf between these two teams. Like we were awful that day, awful.
Yeah, I watched it. We were dreadful. Like you say, you touched on that team, Aaron. I looked at it. when that team sheet come out walking home, I might go back. I might go back with that. We was on an Ideton on work with that team.
2-0 flattered us, to be honest. Brandon Thomas Asante, I don't know if you remember, he missed like three really good opportunities. So it could have easily been 5-6.
Yeah, definitely. He's a very good player. Obviously, I don't really want to touch much on Salford, but it's hard not to with obviously the links with Oldham on there. Obviously, you said that you do a lot of the reporting stuff there.
Because of the new lockdown rules, they're only allowing like the big media in at the minute. So because we're only a university media, I've not been able to get to any games since like probably for about 2 or 3 weeks now. But I did go into his very first press conference and asked him a couple of questions in his first press conference, and it was very similar to the things that he sort of said when he signed for Oldham in terms of he wants to play like attacking football, and I think everyone knows that's going to be a good appointment. But like you say, like it's going to be a relatively good season for them, I think. But like you say, this is an Oldham podcast, so we won't touch much more up on Salford. It's been a really good experience, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. So let's hope something comes of it.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, doing your media and journalism, would you take a role at Oldham?
Like you say before, it's a hard one really, because obviously, if it came about, I feel like the heart of me would take it straight away, but the head of me at the minute, with the way things are run and how ruthless he seems to be, you know what I mean? There's no security in a job at Latics for me at the minute.
And that goes for everything though, doesn't it, Aaron? You know, that goes for any people coming in, whether it's commercial, players, managers, you know, that's one for everyone.
I can't really answer that question, to be fair, because I think my heart would say, you know, take the opportunity, but my head would probably say different at this moment in time.
Well, you never know if you get the opportunity, you might change your mind. Hopefully, the time you do come it,
definitely,
things are better, and you know, you do look at it and see that part. I really hope you do.
You know what?
Is it interesting
it's,
to do?
It's really interesting because, like, on Twitter sometimes, people question why a club's statement or something like that is so vague, but you don't understand how much probably the person behind the tweets can and can't say things. You know what I mean? Sometimes, when I was looking down Salford, a lot of their fans seemed to, and it was the same for us. They seemed to not take it out on the person behind the Twitter account, but do you know what I mean? And it's a difficult position really, because you're providing information, but like, so say I did an article for Oldham, or I was working for Oldham, and I had to put that club statement out saying that we sacked Harry Kewell. I'd be dreading that club statement because like it just seems that you get.
Oh, if you ever got the older job, you'd be used to writing
club
statement, manager
sacks. I just do a template and save it in my drafts. I'd reload it every 5 weeks.
exactly, Aaron. We always ask the guest the same question before we do end is, what do you think the short-term future of Oldham Athletic is in the long-term
I'd
future?
I'd say, obviously, look for a top-half finish and get us financially secure through the COVID times. And long-term, I'd say, look for further investment to be able to take the club where it needs to be and take the club where I think the fans deserve to be. And whether that's Abdullah securing further investment for himself or new owners, who knows? But I feel like for us to go to where we deserve to be, we need more backing, more financial backing, and I think everyone knows that. But yeah, I think short term, it's just about trying to get ourselves through and not go under in this tricky period. But And yeah, but who knows what the future holds, boys? Who knows?
Just need to get fans back in, though. Soon, I think we get fans
back
in.
Because then the obviously they'll be able to because the push the boundary, I'll be able to get the fans. Once the fans are back in the stadium, they'll be able to take more action in terms of what's needed, you know, going forward and stuff. Yeah. And I think that's what's needed. Whether that be another protest or whatever that be, I think fans need to be there to be able to voice the concerns and show Abdullah that even when we're winning, sometimes like you said, the wins. I know you said before, if we won games, that'd go to the back of people's minds. But I feel like sometimes when we win games, people are very quick to forget the real issues going on. And I think that's something that we need to keep on top of all the time, really.
Well, I'll touch on that before, you know, we end it, Aaron. You know, I had this conversation with Brad again on Saturday, you know. When we do get beat, it hurts. And when we win, people go, I thought you hated the club. I thought you hated... Don't you, Brad? You know, we do get that.
Yeah.
I thought you hated the club. I love Oldham Athletic. I don't like the owners. I don't like what the club stands for. But at the end of the day, they're Oldham Athletic. I want nothing more than a win on a Saturday. And it hurts when we get beat. And when we win, I'm happy. But it's
because it's like some people owner, you know seem to think that a couple of wins makes everything go away. And it's not the case. Like you said, a couple of wins might make us happy for a couple of days. But then you're always either looking to the next fixture because, you know, like as well, we discussed before, this is old and we can get beat at any given time, or you're looking towards,
absolutely,
you know, securing our future in that. And well, it's so up in the air, I feel like there's bigger topics to secure than a couple of wins in the league. And yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully, you know, we get the, we get
definitely,
it.
Boys.
And let's see what the future holds, Aaron, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. As I said, like Big Man there, you said, Aaron, we're all Oldham fans at the end of the day. We want the best for the club. We want to go forward and we want to be positive. We don't want to be being negative towards the club. But as I said all the time, it's the club cause the problems themselves.
Yeah,
we don't go out there to be negative. We want to be happy. We want to push the club forward. But it's the club just shoot themselves in the foot all the time. But we always try to be positive, and obviously, two big games coming up now. This obviously tomorrow we've got Barrow, which as I said we should win, and Bradford. It's just one leg. We've got a really good chance of getting to the third round of the cup, which we always love
to get Doncaster away.
Yeah.
Our annual trip to Donny.
Yeah, definitely. What as I said to you two there, what's your predictions for?
I'll go 2-1 Latics tomorrow, and then I will go 1-0 Latics against Bradford.
I'll go 1-0 tomorrow
entertaining.
And win on penalty Saturday.
Yeah, I think 2-1 tomorrow, and I think we will. Winning a replay. I think we're going to win in extra time on Saturday. Hopefully then we'll all be happy there. Three wins in a row. We'll all be buzzing there. But yeah, I really
no worries, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Great speaking to you there.
And good
thank you. Can I just say as well? I think this podcast is not only is it important, but I feel like you do a really good job, and it's a really entertaining listen every episode. So keep up the good work.
Brilliant.
Oh, really no worries, boys.